How and why Chevy and GMC have big plans to blow the mid-size pickup segment wide open.
Auto Line After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, your journey, our passion. And by Hyundai. See what makes Elantra so nice. Check out its style, interior space, fuel economy, and popular features now.
This is Auto Line After Hours with John McElroy, episode 259 for September 26. The inside story on the new Chevy Colorado and GMC Canyon. Watch Autoline After Hours live at autoline.tv every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time or 2200 GMT. You can subscribe to this podcast for free by searching for Autoline in iTunes, Stitcher, or by following the links on our website. Want to thank everybody for joining us on After Hours. We got a bit of a different show today. GMC and Chevrolet invited us to the media launch for their new pickups, the Colorado and Canyon. So we're right here in the middle of the action where all the media is learning about these trucks, going out for test drives. We're in Del Mar, just north of San Diego. And boy, it's beautiful here. We're not too far from the beach. But we're going to be talking all about these trucks over the next hour or so, and we've got a lot of good information. And to kick it all off, I've got Tony DeSalle here, the Vice President of Marketing for Buick and GMC. And Tony, great having you on After Hours.
It's great to be on your show, John, and welcome to Del Mar for this wonderful event.
Yeah. So let's start talking about this truck because everybody in the industry is watching this one. Yeah. You know, the mid-size segment or the compact pickup segment used to be pretty big in the U.S. Just about everybody except for Toyota and Nissan have abandoned it. You guys even dropped out with pickups of the same name, and now you're coming back with them. So from the GMC perspective, why this truck, why now?
I tell you, there's a tremendous amount of consumer insight that goes into answering that question, and we know why consumers have left the segment, and quite frankly, it's been because of dissatisfaction with the current entries that are in the segment. They demand more. They're older trucks, exactly.
They've been around for almost a decade now.
Yep, so they want quiet, they want comfortable rides. They want fuel economy, they want updated styling, they want technology. And so we garnered those insights and decided, hey, this is a real opportunity. You know, John, there are over 12 million mid-sized pickups on the road in this country right now. And so by no means is this a niche. This is a huge opportunity.
So what you're saying is with 12 million people out there with these kinds of trucks, you think you can capture a significant chunk of them?
Yeah, that, and there are people in other segments that have migrated from mid-size pickups that left that segment that are in cars or crossovers today because of the features and amenities and comfort and convenience elements and technology elements that those products offer that the existing entries in mid-size pickups don't. So we see them as a very viable target for us as well.
As you know, everyone's been eyeing the segment. Ford's looked at it, Ram has looked at it. Everyone's afraid or has been afraid up to now to jump in because they're afraid it's going to cannibalize sales of their full-size pickups. And as you know, you guys and the other two make a lot of money off those full-size ones. So this is a bit of a risk, isn't it?
Well, we see it as addressing a real customer need because the customer that wants to be in a mid-size truck wants the maneuverability, wants the right size for oftentimes his, because it does skew male, needs. And so we've got opportunities in urban environments that somebody perhaps that it's in a full-size truck today isn't optimized in terms of the footprint of that vehicle. And so we want to offer a right-size product to the customers that really want that is the bottom line.
Now, my understanding is the dealers have been ordering these things in numbers higher than you expected. That's got to be a pretty good sign.
It's been really strong. And also the consumer traffic we've seen on our websites, checking the Canyon out, has been very, very strong. And so as early indicators go, those would be very positive for the potential of this product.
How are you going to market this truck? I mean, it's very interesting to see how GMC has really created an upscale image for its brands, and especially all the way to the top with Denali. Yeah. But now you're coming out with a smaller truck, you know, lower price. So what's the message that you're going to take to the market?
It's a very high value for money proposition for sure, because it is a lower price, it is a smaller truck, but it's also a premium truck. And so all of the design elements, some of the amenities on the interior, you know, the technologies that we have in the vehicle, forward collision alert from a safety standpoint, for example, our IntelliLink infotainment system. It launches with 4G LTE Wi-Fi as standard equipment. The list goes on and on. So the team's done a phenomenal job contenting these trucks. And so given the conversation that you and I just had about the target markets being differentiated, and they are different consumers that are looking at this space with interest, we have to provide the right message to those different consumers. A consumer may be in a car today but would be interested in this. A consumer may be in a mid-sized crossover or small crossover, may still be in the mid-sized pickup segment. Those messages are going to differ a bit from opportunity to opportunity in our view.
Now, you've got a competitor in Chevrolet, too. You've got to distinguish this from what they're going to do. What's the difference in the GMC message?
Oh, I think the team's done a phenomenal job differentiating the two products. So it starts on the exterior of the vehicle, and you can just tell that. I mean, our design is much more bold. We like to talk about the confidence that it projects. The interior has, you know, real aluminum bezels on the trim, those kinds of things that really help set the two brands apart, and GMC will play much more at a premium level than the Chevy Colorado will.
Good. In fact, we shot a segment earlier today with Jeff Perkins, who was the lead exterior designer on those two vehicles, who really pointed out the differences of them. And maybe this is a good time to let the viewers know exactly some of the differences that you were just talking about. Let's show them what that is, and why don't we go to that interview with Mr. Perkins right now. What you're looking at right now is the front end grille of the GMC Canyon, and I'm standing with Jeff Perkins, the design director for both the Canyon and the Colorado. Jeff, thanks for taking the time to talk with us now.
Yeah, great. Yeah, glad to be here.
So give us an overall view. What did you try to achieve with these trucks from a design standpoint?
Okay, well, from a design standpoint, overall, we really wanted to create a mid-size truck that was just as strong, just as capable as our full-size trucks, but smaller. And, you know, one of the fundamental ways we did that was getting the track right, getting the stance right. When I say that, I mean pulling the wheels and tires out wide and getting real strong shoulders. So, you know, we knew this was a mid-sized truck, but we really want to make sure that it looks tough and it looks planted. That was really important. That's like truck design 101 to us.
Okay, let's bore in and talk specifically about the GMC Canyon. Mm-hmm. What did you want to achieve with this from a design standpoint?
Well, you know, the GMC is really about a premium mid-sized truck. We thought, God, there's a great opportunity for mid-sized truck to be more premium, to be more upscale, and we've really tried to nail that with the GMC. You know, I think if you take a look at the front of the vehicle, it's a very kind of traditional, recognizable GMC grille that we've executed in a new way. Very vertical profile. You know, take a look at the headlights. Technology, you know, we've got standard forward projector lighting, LED signature, and just in general, a lot of detail. And of course, you know, we say a lot of bright work on the front of the car. And what we found, you know, GMC customers love that. They love their Sierra. And, you know, we found there's different sets of mid-size customers too that love that bright work on the front of the vehicle. So we really tried to deliver this kind of trucky, modern, you know, real pure GMC front.
Okay, let's go over to the Chevrolet and let's talk about how you differentiated it from the GMC.
Yeah, well, you know, that was key to us because, you know, we're doing these two vehicles and we really want to make sure they don't just look different. We wanted them to have different character. I think that was the key word. And I think, you know, again, you look at the front of the GMC, the grille was up higher, the headlights were up higher. And even with the front of the Chevy, you know, the Chevy's a lot more athletic. It was kind of driven by talking to customers who love to hike and bike, and we said, hey, this thing has to look athletic, strong, and, you know, really a more modern statement of executing a Chevrolet front. So you can see, you know, the wraparound headlights, you know, kind of inspired from wraparound sunglasses, you know, a lot of shape on the vehicle. You know, I talked about the GMC having a strong grille and chamfered surfaces. The Chevy's got a little more, you know, muscle shape to it. And, you know, something that was interesting, Ed Welburn challenged us, hey, could you do the kind of spirit of the Camaro with the front of this car? So I wouldn't say it's a Camaro truck, but he challenged us to get that real strong kind of, you know, call it down the road graphic.
I think you pulled it off, because when you told me that earlier, I looked at it and went, you know, it's not the Camaro, and yet it's got that spirit of it.
Yeah, yep, and that was the intention, to really make these two different.
Cool. Jeff Perkins, thanks so much for talking through our look at these two different trucks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Yeah.
really like how they were able to get that very different look between GMC and Chevrolet on those trucks. Tony, earlier this week, or since the beginning of the week, we've been letting our viewers know that we were going to be out here and ask them to send in questions. And we got a number of questions, right. Quite a few questions, as a matter of fact, some specifically addressed to you. So, Chip, you've got those questions. What's the first one for Tony?
Thanks, John. Hey, Tony, Armand wants to know, does Canyon have any tricks up your sleeve for SEMA?
Hey, a great question. I mean, SEMA's right around the corner. There's nothing I can comment on in terms of what our game plan is in the future in terms of specialty editions and those kinds of things. But it's something that we're always scheming. And so there's nothing to announce today.
Though I got to believe there's been a bunch of companies, SEMA-related companies, calling you guys saying, we need that truck. He's just laughing, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to go to the next question. Chip?
Don sends in this one. He believes it's time for GMC to have its own identity and be less tied to Chevrolet. Why can't you bring over any Vauxhall brands?
We're not going to talk about anything from a future product standpoint. But in terms of GMC carving out its own identity, I really believe that it has. And if anything, it's an opportunity to get more consumers closer to the brand. Because we've been on professional grade positioning for 16 years. And there are still consumers that don't understand what products we offer or aren't that familiar with GMC. And so that's the opportunity. And the positioning resonates. The product resonates. We know it's very strong. We see consumers buying GMCs for exterior styling and buying Chevys for exterior styling, and they're different now. And so that's a sign of success in spreading these brands out.
Also, your sub-brand, Denali, which is the very top, you were mentioning yesterday in the presentation, very high take rate on that.
Very
What's it
high
up to?
Take rate. It's 20% across the entire GMC line. We've sold about 750,000 Denalis since it first debuted in 99 on the Yukon. It runs as high as, it's running 38% right now on a Sierra heavy-duty truck, Denali trim. And so the take rate is huge. The number of customers opting for checking all the boxes and giving me a Denali is running very, very strong. Yeah. And that's a property of GMC specifically.
Yeah, we got another question here, Chip.
We got one more question for you, Tony. S10 Baja, although this is both a Chevy and a GMC question, with regards to you, will the Canyon ever see an off-road variant?
Well, again, I can't comment on specifics of what our future plans are. Obviously, we do have an all-terrain trim level that has the look and feel of a little bit more off-road capability, a little bit bolder stance that we market right now.
I just got a chance to take a little bit off-road, and it is fairly capable. I think what this questioner is getting at, though, is a super hardcore version off-road one. And yeah. You're not going to talk about it, at least
exactly.
Not now.
Exactly.
Hey, I hear the railroad crossing bells ringing. I ought to let you all know that we're right next to the railroad tracks here. So I'm going to use that as a segue for us to take our first commercial break, and we're going to give our shout-out to our friends of that car company that's never made a car.
Introducing a car company that's never made a single car. Legendary durability. Impressive mileage. Firestone tires. So unstrap the saddle. These old stallions are ready to run. Again. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Nope. And we're back just in time for all of you to have missed the train that just whizzed by. I'll bet you we get another one before this program's over. But right now we've got two people who got into the real nuts and bolts of this truck, Jeff Luke and Anita Burke. And it's great to have the both of you on Auto Line After Hours.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here, John.
So, Jeff, you've been on the show before, so I'm going to go with Anita first. And tell me, what do you think is the most significant part of this truck from an engineering standpoint? What are you most proud of when you look back on your babies here?
There is so much to be proud of, but I think I'm most proud of the fact that we've got two fantastic looking trucks that have exceptional fuel economy. The mid-size truck driver uses their truck for fun and play, but they also use it for everyday commuting. So that's key. And I think we've delivered something that gives exceptional styling and that refinement inside that makes that commute to work and fun and play just a dream to do.
Okay, the viewers are going to say, okay, good fuel economy, give us some numbers
okay,
here.
Okay, for our V6, we got 1826, and for our four-cylinder, we've got 2027.
So that's
best in segment numbers.
Best in segment numbers. And I think you guys were saying if you compare V6 to V6 Toyota Tacoma, you're beating them by 5 miles per gallon. So that's a very important consideration. You have to look at what they're competing against right now. And those are pretty impressive numbers.
We're very proud of them.
Jeff, same question to you. What do you like most about these trucks?
Yeah, I think, to supplement Anita's comments there, these trucks are all about refinement. The quietness of the cabin, the steering precision, the focus on the interior, not only styling, but roominess. Our customers have told us that they want a smaller truck that feels big inside, and so we've worked on every millimeter. If you also look at efficiency, Anita mentioned fuel economy. Obviously, a key reason for purchase is great fuel economy, and also capability to go with the usability of the box. We've got best-in-class payload, about 1,600 pounds of payload capability, and then the trailer rating of the V6 is best-in-class at about 7,000 pounds. So
that's a big number.
It is a big number, and truly capable trucks that also have great efficiency and refinement.
Anita, go through some of the things that made the truck so quiet. You know, let's start with the frame, because I think you got a story there.
Absolutely. We utilize the deep knowledge base of our truck historic history. We use a fully boxed frame, and that's truly the foundation of this truck. It allows us to not only carry the load capacity of it with strong lifelong durability, but also allows the rubber bits to do exactly what they're meant to do, provide that exceptional isolation that you feel when you drive this truck. We've got compression as well as shear body mounts on it. We're first to segment using hydraulic engine mounts that really give that nice refinement that Jeff mentioned. We utilize acoustic treatments in the interior as well, that it's very quiet. We have the same technology that we're using as far as exterior inlaid doors, triple sealed doors. Those kind of things all add to that exceptional interior quietness.
Jeff, it wasn't that long ago. You guys just finished doing the full-size pickups, Silverado and Sierra. Were there lessons learned that just translated down into this program, or what were the differences between the two sizes of trucks that you developed?
Yes, absolutely, John. The DNA of the full-size trucks, whether they be the light-duty or the heavy-duties, are infused in these trucks. As Anita said, the door construction, the body construction is very much the same engineering solution. And so, it immediately stands out when you open the door. You can feel the solid opening of the door, and then when you get in, you close that door, the solid engagement, and then when you're sitting there, immediate quietness in the cabin. These are all elements that come from the full-size truck.
Anita, too, one of the things that I picked up on in driving this thing is the brakes, especially compared to the other two trucks that are out there in the market these days, Tacoma and Frontier. Describe the brakes, because I want the audience to understand why I felt these things feel so good.
The brakes is one demonstration of the attention to detail that we really focused in on this truck. We have four disc brakes on all four corners that drive that exceptional stopping distance and feel. The pedal travel does exactly what you want it to do when. We've got a stopping distance on the order of 44.6 meters, which
Now, put that in perspective. What's that mean? Okay, 44.6. What's that mean?
It beats the Toyota by about 0.8 millimeters. It's really putting in perspective that you get that stopping when you need to, right? We carry a lot of load in these trucks. We carry a lot of trailering. But most importantly, we're carrying people's families. So that those brakes act exactly what we want to do. We also carried over the full-size truck DuraLife coatings on our brakes that have proven that you can double the life of your brakes. So cost of ownership
that's
is really
key. The technology where instead of seeing rusty rotors 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever years down the road, they actually look pretty good.
They absolutely do. Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, talk about the electric power steering, because there's a lot of us enthusiasts and some of my media colleagues who just despise that EPS system. But you got a pretty good one here on this truck. And what I especially liked is in making turns, after you complete the turn, the wheel wheels back.
Yeah.
in a natural way. That must have taken a lot of programming to get
yeah,
it to do that.
Yeah, we're real excited about electric power steering, first and segment on these trucks. Not only to give you great steering feel, great efforts in parking lot maneuvers, but when you get on the highway and, you know, if you have a heavy trailer or a lot of load there, nice on-center buildup. But also with the steering, and we can tune it very precisely. And we're really excited about it. It has great capabilities, and exactly like you say, in wheel returnability there. It's makes driving a real pleasure. These trucks are really fun to drive, and the steering is one of those things that you immediately feel, you know, your connection to the road. It's just super.
You mentioned hydro mounts, and especially that must have been important for a four-cylinder engine.
It's important for all of them. Again, refinement was key for us here. So those hydraulic engine mounts really allow us to have that great isolation, both from a noise characteristic as well as a ride. It really controls everything that's going on the front, so it gives that nice solid ride, stuck to the road feel.
And describe, for those who haven't read up on this just yet, displacement of the engines, transmissions available, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we have two engines in the program, a 2.5-liter four-cylinder. That's 200 horsepower, 191 pound-feet of torque. And we have a 3.6-liter that is 305 horsepower and 269 pound-feet of torque. Both can be mated to a six-speed automatic transmission, and the four-cylinder can also get an optional six-speed manual transmission. Both engines are direct inject, a variable valve timing, and a double overhead cam. So that leads to more power, more torque, and better fuel economy.
And one more engine, too, coming a year from now. You've got that 2.8-liter diesel coming as well.
Yeah, we're really excited about the 2.8-liter diesel coming next model year, and it'll be a great addition to the lineup.
Yeah, I know we've got a bunch of questions. You want to get to that now, Chip, or you want to get to...
Yeah, no, in fact, Badger Brett is asking about that 2.8-liter turbo diesel. He wants to know about torque and mileage and the same emissions controls as on the Chevy Cruze diesel.
Yeah. The emission control system is similar to the Chevy Cruze. It will have a urea-based emissions strategy. We're right in the midst of calibration development right now. We don't have final horsepower and torque numbers, but let me just say that the torque is going to be extremely impressive on this truck, and the ratings to go with the truck also. So we're right in the midst of development.
Yep. Great. Chip, you got
back
another?
To the 3.6-liter V6. Jeff W. wants to know, why did you choose that engine and not the new 4.3-liter that you have in the full size?
Yeah, great question. We've had that question a number of times this week. This engine is also shared in the global Colorado, and its brother vehicle, the Trailblazer. So it's shared in the midsize truck family as well as other vehicles. So it's got the right combination of power and performance, and it really does a great job here. So
right,
that's why
truck.
It's in there.
Gotcha.
Bob D wants to know, and I don't know if this is your neck of the woods, but why hasn't GM ever offered fiberglass caps?
Well, you know, good question there too. We know a lot of our customers like fiberglass caps, like tonneau covers, and so we work closely with the big main providers of fiberglass caps very early in our development to give them the box dimensions and our color palette, so that they can make sure that they're engineering and designing to make sure that a cap matches the box.
But you guys have never thought about bringing that in-house?
Yeah, it is an area that looked like it was going to be something we wanted to bring inside. We work with partners on it. And
they're glad you didn't bring it inside.
That's where we're at today.
Yeah.
A couple more. CNG PDX, why no front rear park assist option offered?
Yeah, that's another good technology we're evaluating. As you know, we have a rear backup camera that is on these trucks that provides
standard
on these trucks and provides everything you need to see back there. And We do have a segment first as well when it comes to safety features like forward collision alert and lane departure warnings on up-level trim trucks.
But you might go to that sonar kind of system some point?
We're evaluating the technology, and we'll gauge customer feedback on it.
Gotcha. Chip, you got another one there?
Somebody was asking about the difference between this Colorado and the
prior one.
Yeah.
And the predecessor truck, this truck is approximately 4 inches wider, cab and track width, and it's about 2 inches more headroom than the prior truck, and it's about I think 5 inches longer.
Correct.
Than the prior truck.
And I can say it because maybe they won't. It is a significantly better truck, this new one. Far more refined. The other one was capable, but it was kind of crude feeling. This truck does not feel crude at all. It feels very refined.
So I don't know if this is a marketing question, but I'll throw it out there. Martin Sinzig, Chevy guy from Switzerland, wants to know, of the 30,000 pre-ordered pickups, how many were extended cab, how many were quad cabs, and any chance of getting a Chevy Colorado in Europe?
Well, let's just say we're really excited about the initial order quantity of 30,000. Coming in very highly contented, approximately the percentage of crew cab to extended cab that we were expecting for the mix. Now, question of can he get one in Europe? We don't have any plans currently to send the truck to Europe, but we're always looking at opportunities.
Ooh, I like that. Never say never. And I love the question coming in from Switzerland, home of Louis Chevrolet. So that's just perfect for it. In fact, earlier today I went and did a little test drive of the truck, and why don't we go to that clip right now, because I want to give you some of my first-hand driving impressions of it.
And
want to thank both, before we go to that clip, want to thank the two of you for coming in and talking all about your two brand new babies here. That's
great. Thank you again, John, for having us.
Terrific.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, now let's go to that clip. So what's it like to actually get behind the wheel of the Chevrolet Colorado or GMC Canyon? It's impressive. These are very refined trucks, especially when you compare them to the other mid-sized trucks out on the market, the Toyota Tacoma and Nissan Frontier. And you notice it just rolling down the road. The level of NVH, noise, vibration, harshness, is far less in this truck than in its competitors. I love the steering, too. It's an electric steering system, but it feels very direct. You don't feel disconnected from the road. And the brake modulation is excellent. They very well sized the brakes to this vehicle. And I don't care whether you're in the 4, seems to have enough power. Of course, I'm not doing any towing right now. But the V6 is especially impressive because it comes with a 7,000-pound towing rating, and it gets 5 miles per gallon better than the Toyota V6 does. Just from anything that you do in driving these vehicles, it feels pretty refined. Now, if you're coming out of one of the full-size trucks, like the F-150, the Silverado, Ram, or even the Tundra, you're not going to notice that difference in refinement because those trucks are pretty well done. But what you will notice in this one is it just feels more compact, not cramped, more compact. And I think that's going to appeal to a lot of buyers who don't want something as big as the big size trucks. It's going to be very interesting to see how the market responds to this, but there's no question that Chevy and GMC have put some pretty good trucks on the market. On this one and pull out. Well, now we've heard how GMC is going to market its truck. We heard a lot of the marketing details and the engineering details of these trucks. We're going to hear now how Chevrolet plans to market it, because I'm joined by Tom Wilkinson from Chevrolet Public Relations. Great having you on the show, Tom.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
Okay, so you heard Tony say how he's going to go to market with his truck.
Yep.
What's the Chevy side of the story?
Well, Chevy sees a number of groups of customers for Colorado. One would be we're going to definitely reach out to people who may be driving current midsize trucks, either domestic trucks like the Ranger or Dakota, or the existing Japanese trucks, the Tacoma and the Frontier. If you're a domestic fan and you're in a mid-sized truck, you really haven't had any place to go the last few years. And we think a number of those people are coming up to thinking about a new vehicle, so we'll be reaching out to them. And if you've been driving one of the import competitors, if you go back in the showroom with your 3 or 4 or 5 year old truck, what you're seeing really isn't much different. And so, again, we think there's an opportunity to use some digital marketing and some customer direct-to-customer marketing to specifically reach out to mid-sized truck customers. And then, you know, Chevrolet's got a huge portfolio, cars, crossovers, that we think a lot of people left the mid-sized truck segment and went to cars and crossovers. And so I think there's an opportunity also there to interest some of those people in pickups again.
Tony mentioned that, you know, GMC's message, of course, is more upscale and, yep, and the like. What's going to be the main marketing thrust on the Chevrolet side?
We're going to have a little bit of fun with Colorado, and they're going to be, it basically ties into the emotional thing you get from having a truck. That, you know, and we know that from Chevy trucks. Chevy truck customers are kind of can-do people. The truck is a tool that helps them, you know, do their work, enjoy their recreational activities. It's sort of like a Swiss Army knife, if you will. It's a multi-purpose tool. And that really fits in with the personality of Chevy truck customers, as they're can-do kind of people. They like to do a variety of things. They have very diverse interests. And so if you look at Colorado, at the midsize truck customers, again, these are people who may use the truck for commuting during the week, and then they do recreational activities or things around the house on the weekend. So we'll definitely be talking to those people and having some fun with, you know, wouldn't you really like to have a truck? I
mean, in fact, what was interesting is what you guys are thinking is that you might be able to pull people out of small crossovers back into this truck.
Well, we think a lot of people, it's interesting being here in Del Mar, and you see people strapping surfboards and wakeboards on minivans, on crossovers. And we think for a lot of those people, maybe they'd really rather have a pickup, especially with the cool gear-on system that makes it so easy to carry.
Explain that gear-on system.
A gear-on system is a, A gear-on system is a system of racks and stanchions and crossbars that go into the bed or into the rails of the bed. And then they take various carriers, so bike carriers, surfboard carriers, kayak carriers. And then that leaves the space under. Rather than throw your mountain bike in the back and sort of pile your camping gear on top of it, you can carry the mountain bike on the gear-on system, and then there's space underneath it to put your camping gear and whatnot. So it really, it's perfect for people who like to carry recreational gear, and we're really excited about it.
And when I hear about that gear-on thing, this has got to be a truck that lends itself to all kinds of customization of cool gadgetry to add to it.
Yeah, if you look at mid-sized trucks out there, you know, the people who have them are very passionate. They're often accessorized the truck. I mean, we're launching the truck with about 50 different accessories, accessory wheels, side steps, tonneau covers, you know, a really nice factory applied spray and bed liner. So we'll help the customer customize the truck. And we know there'll be tremendous interest in the aftermarket. You know, with the SEMA show coming up, we expect these trucks are going to get a lot of attention from you know, people who do aftermarket accessories for trucks. I mean, these are a perfect palette for expressing your
creativity.
They really
are. And those are the kind of customers who would want to do that,
right,
too.
Absolutely, yep.
Hey, we've got more questions, too, and
okay.
Why don't we go to that right now? Chip, what's the first question you got for Tom Wilkinson?
Sondat wants to know, have you been thinking about offering an extreme version?
Well, you know, we're launching with 4 models, including a Z71, which is a pretty capable off-road truck. Some of the journalists, one of them drove the truck cross-country almost all the way to Mexico. And so while it's not a Baja racer, you know, he did some really hilarious posts about how capable the truck was. Of course, next year we've got the diesel coming, which is, you know, a great engine, and we're not done yet. We don't have anything to announce today, but
and this is the kind of segment that you're trying to revive, that you want to have something new and exciting hitting the market.
Yep.
Every year
you really want to keep new things coming to keep the interest up, and so we're not done yet. We're going to have some fun with the truck, but nothing to announce today.
Okay, cool. We got another question.
Yeah, Jeff W. wants to know, other than the name, does the new Chevy Colorado that will be sold in North America have anything in common with Chevy Colorados sold in other markets?
It's really a first cousin, if you will. I think Jeff pointed out, we drew on a lot of the experience with the Silverado to create this vehicle. The customers in North America have very different needs than the customers in you know, less developed countries. I mean, in Thailand and other areas like that, they're really commercial trucks, and they're very rugged, they're very tough, they're very durable, but they're not terribly refined. And because these are personal use vehicles in North America, refinement is more important.
I think you just made a key point. Once you get outside of North America, trucks are generally not for everyday commuting and lifestyle.
Correct.
You know, they're there to work.
And you see people, and you know, we get photos from our colleagues in Thailand, and some of the stuff you see people load into these trucks and carry with these trucks, it really, really is testing the capability of the trucks.
They're piled mountain high, right.
Yep. But we did learn a lot from the global program. And, for example, the three powertrains are all from the global program. And then we're able to essentially cross-pollinate that with the learnings from the Silverado and Sierra. So I think we got the best of both worlds. We were able to build on what we learned with the global truck and build on the powertrains, for example, but then also use the knowledge from the Silverado for things like the high-strength steel frame and the cab structure and some of the safety and connectivity features that are really important to customers in the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah. We got another question here.
We got a Twitter question, actually, from A.W. Justice, who wants to know, does GM expect a lot of commercial sales to small contractors, kind of like the exterminators that use the Ford Ranger?
We have shown the truck at NTEA and some of the other fleet shows, and there's been a lot of interest in the truck.
And what's NTEA?
A National Truck and Equipment Association,
okay.
I believe.
Okay.
I believe that's it. If I wasn't right, I hope people won't call
You're
it
close enough.
Close enough.
I'll believe you.
It's a work truck show, and it's a show for people who build service bodies and things like that for exterminators. And we will offer the truck with a cab delete, a box. I'm sorry, not a cab delete. That would be pretty bad. A box delete. So it's easier to put a service body on the truck.
Uh-huh.
And we think there will be a lot of interest. We've also have the new Chevy Express small van coming out this year. And we think that also, for some customers, may actually be more interesting than a pickup truck. If you're using a truck to carry stuff that you want to keep dry and secure, you know, the Chevy Express may actually end up being a better choice than a pickup with some sort of a box or a service body on it. But, you know, we're really there to meet the needs of our fleet customers, and we have a very strong and active fleet group, and there's a lot of interest in the new pickups from them.
Mm-hmm. Another question.
Rob wants to know, will Chevy offer a Colorado cab and chassis version without the pickup bed?
Yep, actually we will. It's a line on the dealer order guide that you can delete the box on the truck and then can put whatever. We know people are already working up flatbeds and service bodies and whatnot for the truck, so definitely be able to accommodate that.
And Armand wanted to know, you know, he answered the Canyon question, Tony did, but do you have anything special for SEMA with Colorado?
We have a Colorado Sport Edition, which is kind of just a nicely accessorized Colorado with some cool paint and some cool features on it. And again, we're just starting to sort of seed the idea with the SEMA folks, not only to sort of some of the things we may be thinking about, but again, to really kind of whet the appetite of the upfitters and the aftermarket to get them thinking about what they can do with the Colorado.
How about racing? How about, you know, NASCAR's got a truck series. There's a lot of off-road things. It might be a way to get the word out about
it. I don't know of anything in the works right now, but
never say never.
Never say never. We are, for example, there's a lot of interest in Colorado among race fans and race teams. So at the Texas Motor Speedway race at the end of October, we're going to do a Colorado ride and drive specifically aimed at the drivers and the teams, because most of those folks are pickup owners, you know, the people who really make the teams go, and we think there's going to be a lot of interest in that. So we may not go directly into racing, but pickups have a huge interest in race fans. We have a Chevy truck tour that goes around all of the major races, and Colorado's been a big part of that all summer. And you know, we've collected, you know, huge numbers of what we call hand raisers, which is somebody who said, hey, I'm interested enough in this truck to give you my email and to have you send me more information from time to time. So there's definitely a cross-pollination there, but it may not involve actually putting numbers in a roll cage on the Colorado.
Yeah, gotcha.
So this, maybe we should go out on this one, because it's not really a question for Tom, but as you know, we got this HTG asked, I'd like to see John climb into the onto the back of the Colorado, lower and raise the rear gate, and step in and out of the cab. We did that a little earlier. Maybe we just go to that and then go to our commercial?
I think that's a great idea. Why don't we go to that clip of me showing how easy it is to get in and out of that thing and use the tailgate.
Yep. Say goodbye to Tom.
Tom Wilkinson, thanks so much for coming on and talking the Chevrolet side of the story.
Thank you very much for having us, and thanks for coming to beautiful Del Mar to drive the Colorado in the canyon.
I know. I can't believe I'm at work right now.
It's great, isn't it?
It is. Good job.
Thank
excellent.
You. Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
This is just fun. You know, this whole thing is just fun. I'm so glad these trucks are back and they're as good as they are.
So we want Ken and Frank right now?
Yes.
Ken and Frank.
40 seconds.
Go.
Come on, Frank.
Uh-oh.
Quick pitch. Ken went to get a t-shirt.
Oh, he's right here.
Okay.
Take your badges off, gentlemen.
Nice. Not nice.
The new Elantra from Hyundai. Nice.
You already know that you can listen to AutoLine's Industry Insight in places like YouTube and Stitcher, but did you know that you can also listen to it live in your car? It's simple. Just pair your smartphone with your vehicle's Bluetooth connection or plug into the aux jack. Then navigate to AutoLine.tv using your phone's browser. Find the show you want to hear and click play, just like you would on your computer.
This is AutoLine After Hours with John McElroy.
It's that easy. Never be disconnected from AutoLine's top-notch insider information with AutoLine on the go. Good, good.
Quite honestly,
now we're going to get the truth, people.
No, because we haven't heard the press preview, so we're we're cold in that respect. But truck's very impressive, particularly the four-cylinder. I mean, you tend to think of four cylinders as being a little on the logy side, and it's strong, it's peppy, and the steering is nice. I'm impressed. What Frank and I have both noticed, and I don't want to take words out of Frank's mouth, is that this truck is about the size of a full-size truck of just a few years ago.
Yeah.
And full-size trucks have become enormous. So my question tomorrow for the GM guys is, where are we going? You know, is this going to be the full-size truck of tomorrow, the tank, and then beyond? How big will it be?
Frank, your first impression.
Well, it's the first thing I looked at. I said, this does not look to me like a midsize. I mean,
and doesn't look small.
No, it looks like a very big truck. And then when I think the first one we had was the long wheelbase four-door in a canyon. And you get into it, and it feels like a big truck, just like it looks. Now, when you get into the shorter wheelbase ones, then it feels a little more midsize. But I'll be interested to compare the size of that to, say, the Ford, what the hell was it, Ford?
Ranger?
Ranger.
Yeah.
Which I think is way smaller than this, and that
smaller.
Was considered.
I'm not sure how much weight, but yeah. Definitely smaller. I found.
And this actually, I think, is bigger than the Dodge Dakota was.
Yeah, I would probably say that's
which
right.
Which was considered a midsize plus.
But I found, even though when you look at the truck, you go, wow, yeah, what's midsize about this? I found when I got inside, though, it didn't have the bulk. I felt that this was a far more maneuverable, not as big, not that it's cramped inside, but it definitely drives as a smaller truck.
That's a fair statement.
Especially in the short wheelbase version, yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Ken, as you're pointing out, is this the new full-size truck of tomorrow? I mean, is the market going to flip? What's your thoughts on
where the pickups can go? I really don't think so. Where I live in Virginia, we have what I call the line dancer cowboy truck driver. You know, he's got the big hat. He might have a gun rack. He's got an NRA sticker. And the truck is all about image for him. I mean, I live in a farm area, and a lot of people are using their trucks for business. But we do have a lot of posers out there, and they want the biggest truck imaginable. They're probably the peripheral buyer. You know, if the market goes down and it costs them $100 to fill the tank, they're probably thinking of trading their truck. But I'm not sure that this is a great little utility vehicle, and I don't know if they see it as a big image truck. So I think those guys are certainly going to stick with their big truck, as is the guy who needs an enormous amount of space.
Yeah, your thoughts, Frank?
Well, if you look at the short wheelbase one with the rear opening doors and the little tiny rear seats with a $27,000 price tag on it, you kind of say, hey, that's really great, because when you look at the great big pickup trucks, you're talking $50,000-$60,000. However, they also have a four-door version here that's almost $40,000. So the problem between the midsize and the big pickup trucks in the past has been the guy walks in to the dealership and the factory's putting a lot of money on the hood, and he finds out that he can get a full-size truck for $700 or $800 more than the midsize, and he goes with the big one. I think it's going to remain to be seen what the price differential is going to be on these trucks versus the big ones.
Yeah, what they're saying is comparably equipped,
yes,
these trucks are going to be $6,000 to $10,000 cheaper. And I think that's a real critical price differentiator.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
'Cause you guys know in the past what would happen is, you know, you'd go in to look at the prior generation Colorado, and the salesperson at the dealership would say, hey, John, you know, for an extra $20 a month, I'll put you in a real truck.
Yeah.
And they would have 100 of them parked out on the lot and highly motivated to make you get in one of them.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
But when you start getting $6,000 to $10,000 separation, I think that's enough to say, no, thank you, I'll stick with the smaller one.
Particularly when the smaller one is as big as the big one used to be.
That's right.
Well, and the payload is, you know, it's a half-ton pickup.
Okay. You know?
With a 1,600-pound payload or whatever.
Towing, sure.
So as you guys know, Ford's looked at doing this, Ram's looked at doing this. They haven't, because they were afraid it was going to cannibalize their full-size ones. How much of a risk do you think this is for Chevy and GMC?
I think it's a big risk on their part. I think there's a lot of hope and wishful thinking. I don't know what the market research was, because I'm not in that position. But I think the jury is out on this one. See how it does. It's going to have a big, at first blush, a big push, and people are going to run out and buy it because it's new. But over the long term, I don't know.
Here's another perspective. 1989, 90, most people would have told you that a two-seater sports car was dead in the water. You know, they can't be done. The Germans would certainly have told you that. Mazda did the Miata. It caught on. Suddenly, then you had roadsters. You had an SLR, and you had a Z3, and you had everybody jumping back into the business. So it really just takes one great product that catches on, and it could change. Along with that, if gasoline prices go up a little bit more, some of the market factors come into it. So I'd say I'm not ready to write it off as a brand new truck with a new idea. Not yet.
Yeah, you know, earlier in the show it was mentioned that there's 12 million plus mid-sized truck owners today, largely with older trucks. So that's a pretty good customer base to be able to tap into. And that sort of started to change my mind about how big of a risk this was. The truck's great. I don't think they're going to have any problem convincing people that this is a really nice truck. But at first I thought, yeah, but even if it's a nice truck, is it going to sell? Well, if you got 12 million potential customers to go after, that's way bigger than I thought of.
I don't know. I haven't looked lately how well the Toyota is doing, because it's really the only competition out there now.
And the Nissan Frontier.
Oh, yeah, the Frontier, yeah.
But
Frontier is doing...
Yeah, I think Toyota's got like 75% of the segment or something, like a huge chunk of it. And, you know, they've had it to themselves. Toyota's done pretty well with this truck because they've taken it seriously. If you go back in the last decade, there was a string of years there where Tacoma was the third or fourth best-selling vehicle in their entire lineup. But, you know, with no competition, hey, why invest a whole bunch of money if you're going to sell every one you can build anyway? I think this truck's going to make Toyota mad.
Well, you could
also, they're going to come out swinging.
Yeah, well, you could also have people who would have liked to have a GMC or a Chevy truck. You know, they see the ads, they know about it, their friends drive them. Maybe this is where they switch.
It could be. I mean, like you say, I think, you know, if gasoline prices were to spike, and they're in fact doing the other thing, they're slowly sinking right now, it would help this kind of a truck. But I don't know, maybe it's, you know, maybe the timing's right that it's going to be able to stand on its own 2 feet.
We'll have to have this conversation in 6 months and see.
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe
I'm not
going
to bet against it. Believe me, I think it's a nice vehicle, and they both are, and we'll see.
Yeah. So interior, we haven't talked a whole lot about the interior of the truck. Frank, what's your reaction?
Everybody takes interior seriously now. You can't really find a pickup truck anywhere that doesn't have a nice interior and can be cooked up as good as any luxury car, and this follows in that vein. I mean, I don't think you, in today's market, you don't get away with a cheap interior, even on the sort of base truck here. It looks, the interior, the dash and everything looks just like the fancy ones on the top line.
So. Yeah, Ken, what do you think?
Very high quality, it seems, and the seats, both Frank and I felt the seats are wonderful. Yeah. I know you, I'm still of that old school where you sat on a truck seat, you might as well be sitting on a brick wall. Not so here. And the seats have nice support, they're comfortable. I mean, I could drive all day in this. And,
yeah.
Some people do. That's what their job is.
Well, these cloth seats are especially nice,
yeah,
too,
are.
I thought.
The thing that really struck me about the truck and driving it, talking about being in it all day long, it's quiet inside. It's a
quiet
cabin. And the other thing is you don't get this jiggle show of, you know, a body and frame typically
right.
can give you. You're not bouncing around in it. It's pretty refined from that standpoint.
No, we agree. We were talking about the fact that from the first bit getting out of here, there wasn't that sort of strange pickup truck judder that they were so used to with the bigger trucks. It's very supple, very nice.
Now you get a little bit of that bouncing around. I'm sure it would be ride a lot better fully loaded.
Oh yeah,
you do
put
get
400
a
pounds in the back, yeah,
and you, yeah, and it'd be just fine.
And
but
that's
yeah,
good.
There's a little bit of that, but it's surprising what they can do with leaf springs in the back and a solid rear axle for this particular truck. Yeah.
So, okay, I'll put you guys in charge of Ford right now. How do you react to this thing?
Build a mid-size aluminum one.
What do you think, Ken?
Well,
or
know,
do you react to it?
Well, you have to react. This is a very competitive business. I'm thinking back to 1964 and Ford having the Mustang and Chevy taking a couple of more years to get the Camaro. In modern times, rival companies don't wait as long if they think it's a good idea. If I were Ford, I'd be certainly doing the whatever studies you have to do, looking at how it could be done, looking at how fast. I mean, they've got the name. They've had it for years. There are Ranger loyalists out there. I'd be tempted to have it ready. I would.
Well, and as I recall, I believe they're still building the Ranger in other countries or for other countries, so they have something.
But it's a different truck than the Ranger we saw here.
And yeah, but it's a mid-sized truck, so they have something to start with.
It's almost the same size. It's very close to an F-150.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
That truck is way bigger than the Colorado or Canyon, or bigger, I should say. So, and I could ask the same question about Ram, but I think you guys, you know, would say the same thing. They better be able to react to this.
Oh, they've got the Dakota idea, persona out there. So I just would never want to give any competitor a leg up in a market as big and tough as the United States is. I mean, maybe that you're second to the party, but you don't want to not attempt.
Yeah. And what's your thoughts of bringing both, not just the Chevrolet, but also the GMC brand along with this one?
Frank's got some good insights.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking to George Peterson at Auto Bytel, and they have this...
No, Auto Pacific.
Auto Pacific, sorry. Auto Pacific, and I got some... When I did a Ram review, I got some information about loyalty. You know, what will you consider the next time? And it ranges from about 68% for Ram up to 94% for Ford. So, bottom line, it's a loyalty thing. There are... GMC Sierra buyers who would not consider a Chevy. I mean, it just, and they're the same truck. Same thing here. This is basically the same truck, but I'm sure that there are going to be GMC people who buy the GMC version and Chevy people who buy the Chevy one.
So you think it's a great idea to bring GMC in as part of this program?
Well, they're already there. I mean, and they're, I think they're number three in sales now. Is it GMC or is it Ram?
Ram's number three.
Ram is number three, GMC is four. So,
right.
But I mean, didn't I just read a statistic today that for the first time in X number of years that GMC and Chevy together, the Silverado and the Sierra, had beat Ford for 1 month?
Well, they have, but yeah. Remember, well, Ford's in a transition to the new one. But right. If I were them, I would have made the same claim, too.
Sure.
Ken, you know a lot about marketing. How do you think they should take these trucks to market from a marketing standpoint?
Well, there are certainly some advantages to this size, the whole package, the price and everything else. And I think that's where I would go. I mean, you're not going to romance the truck itself, but I think there's a value story here. There's a position story, and I would try to do that. What I've always liked about GMC is they have distinguished themselves. It doesn't make them better necessarily than Chevrolet, but that whole we are professional grade, I mean, they've found a way to take a badge engineered vehicle and give it its own persona. So I would hammer away at that. I would avoid saying it's the junior truck, it's the little brother, I mean, any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. This vehicle can stand on its own, but I think it should, because if you go out there and just say, hey, we got a new small baby, that's not going to fly. They can develop some very, very good reasons to buy this truck, and I think that's what they should do.
What else? What am I missing here? Frank, anything else you want to say about this truck?
No, I just still think it's way bigger than it ought to be for a midsize, but that's just me. The other ones are, the regular pickup trucks are so gigantic you can barely park them in a shopping center parking lot anymore. And this, you look at it, that's a big truck. You can call it midsize all you want. It's a big truck, and it hauls a lot of stuff and tows a lot of stuff, so big truck.
Years ago, Chevrolet and GMC had four-wheel steering on pickup trucks.
Yeah.
And I can remember going out to Black Lake and driving those trucks and maneuvering them around with boats and things and towing boats and so forth and thinking, this is really amazing how this is. Now, they wanted a great deal of money, as I recall, for that option.
They did.
And so it didn't...
It killed it.
It didn't work. But maybe that's something to look at again. this truck needs it. Perhaps less than the large
but
trucks.
But the big ones, right.
But it was very,
no,
very
it
clever.
It was called Quadra Steer.
Right.
It was made
right.
by Delphi. It worked phenomenally well. And, especially for backing up with a trailer, if you've ever backed up a trailer, you look over your shoulder and you got to steer opposite than the way that you want the trailer to go.
Not sure. What you want to do. Right?
Not with four-wheel steer.
Yeah.
No. You steer exactly intuitively the way that you want to go, and it would put a trailer exactly where you want it. So... Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That was a phenomenal system. I loved it. But they overpriced it.
Well, sometimes good ideas they don't work from a marketing point of view the first time around. Mm-hmm. But then you have that perspective. You can go back and look at it again. And Frank was saying earlier that there's a tendency to feel that all of these trucks, they're all so good today. It's hard to differentiate one from another. And there's styling, there's various elements. But so maybe you have to go to an engineering innovation that ups the competition in such a way that people say, I'm tired of backing the boat the wrong way into the dock, and my brand doesn't have that. I might give that a try. It's hard to get these guys to switch. Their loyalty is incredible. So maybe...
Yeah, would you say the Ford loyalty was?
94% is... Well, they fudge it the way they state it. They state what you would consider... for your next truck.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, does that mean you'll buy it or not? I don't know. But 94% for Ford was the highest, as I recall. 68% for Ram, which was the lowest in that group. I mean, we were only talking about Ram and GMC and Chevy and Ford in that group. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was pretty remarkable, actually, when you look at the amount of loyalty that's built in.
No, that's always been a rule of thumb in the business, is that the most loyal buyers are pickup buyers.
Right.
And the diesel pickup buyers are the most loyal of them all.
Although I have
this has got a diesel coming next year, the Colorado and Canyon.
I have run into people, though, who went from... the diesels in the heavy duty trucks are so much more expensive that you can go and get yourself a lighter duty F-150, for example, without the diesel, and over time you're doing just as well or better than you would with the big diesel.
Yeah.
I mean, with a gasoline engine in it, because the diesels cost so much more. Now Ram is doing a good job with the light duty diesel, because it's only like $2,500 more, I think, than the gasoline engine, which is a big advantage.
I don't know a lot about truck psyche. I can just observe my neighbors. But the guys who have diesel trucks think they have trucks. Everybody else is an imposter. They prove this in many ways. They come to the post office. I see them in the morning. They leave the truck on. And just like a long-haul trucker would, they think that's really cool. You come out, it's rattling away. They get in, they've got this attitude thing going. diesel's the next big frontier for these small trucks. And actually, I think that's a very smart idea for this vehicle, not just because of economy, but because it makes it a truck.
Great point. No, I'm going to be really watching how this thing does. We're all going to be really watching how this does in the market because it's not just us, you know. Ford, Ram, Toyota, Nissan, they're going to be watching this thing like a hawk, too. And I think you're right, Ken. I think they're going to have to react. And who knows? It might just totally revive this segment. Like you were mentioning, the Miata brought back the sports car segment.
And who knows? Maybe Honda will bring in a new Ridgeline. It's more competitive.
They're suggesting that's going to happen, so we'll see what happens there. Hey, we got to wrap up here, but Frank Okoffer, Ken Gross, great having the both of you. Love having you share your insights with us.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. And we want to thank all of you for having tuned in, and please join us again next week.
AutoLine After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone, your journey, our passion, and by Hyundai. See what makes Elantra so nice. Check out its style, interior space, fuel economy, and popular features now.
Visit our website, autoline.tv, where you can watch us live Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern. Get your daily news fix with Autoline Daily and in-depth analysis and interviews with Autoline This Week. There's all that and much more at autoline.tv.